Over the last few weeks, we've looked at two things. We've looked at heaven as a place that's found in John, wasn't it? John 14. Not as it is a place, but it's a prepared place. It's being prepared. And we were encouraged, weren't we, to make sure that there is a place for you being prepared by the Lord Jesus. And then Keith, Lee, I wish you had told me you were going to Ballarat. I would have ordered some vanilla slices.
I was going to get the vanilla slices, but I was thinking of your cholesterol.
That's it. No, thank you. I actually went to see the cardiologist during the week, so I thank you for that. No. But Keith did a fantastic job last week. I hope you, if you haven't heard the message, make sure you do. He told us about two ways of getting to heaven. You thought there was only one, but there isn't. There's two ways. Obviously, there's the way of death, isn't it? Death is the vehicle by which a lot of people can enter into heaven. And then there was the one that he'd mentioned about being taken up. And when the Lord comes, there'll be a group of people, maybe us, when we hear that trumpet sound, that we will be called up and we'll skip the death bit. That'll be good, wouldn't it? Eh? So there's two ways, but one of the things that Keith stressed and mentioned, and they were the words of the Lord Jesus, he said, be ready. Jesus Christ says, be ready for that event, the coming of the Lord. Now that were the two, just a very quick highlights of the last 2 weeks. So this week, we're looking at heaven, and the little title there is Clouds, Harps or What? Because we're looking at the actual physical description of the place that we're hoping to go. It's being prepared. Now here's a question, a very, very important question. I'm going to ask you now, and I'm going to ask, it'll be asked again at the end of the message, and you need to have a definitive answer for this question. You really do. Where will you spend eternity? Everyone will spend eternity somewhere. You can't get out of this. There are people who think that when you die, that's it, finished. Nothing else happens. They're wrong. They are really wrong. Everyone spends eternity somewhere. The Bible talks about two places, heaven or the lake of fire. The only two places you can spend eternity is nowhere else. So what exactly do we know about heaven? Well, we know that there's been a way made to heaven. A sure, absolutely guaranteed way to heaven. And we've thought about that and remembered about that this morning. It's through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came, died on the cross to provide a way to heaven. I don't want to go into too much detail. There's plenty of detail that in the Bible. We've remembered this morning very well. Thanks, Lee. Appreciated what you had to say. Very, very true about what the Lord has done. And do you know that this little event that we've remembered, it's called the Remembrance Feast, but it talks about a thing called salvation. The Bible's full of salvation. Starts from Genesis and it ends here in Revelation, near the end, chapter 22. All about salvation and all about the person that brings that about. Salvation in the New Testament is mentioned 256 times. Why is that? Why is it mentioned so often, so much? Why do the apostles talk about it on and on and on? It's important. Salvation is important. If you miss the way, if you miss the way of salvation, it has very, very serious consequences. Very serious. Eternal consequences. That's what it has. If you miss the way, if you take the wrong way or a different way than what's mentioned in the Bible, if you think you can get to heaven without Jesus Christ, there are eternal consequences as a result of that. I'm not going to let you down. I looked up the word eternal. and eternity. Unbelievable. Every time I do this, I thank Jack Pratt. I've told you about him. He got me into looking up the words. He told me how important it was. Unbelievable. Listen to this. You look up eternal, the word eternal, in the Oxford, in the Macquarie, I actually use the Macquarie. The Macquarie Dictionary, this is what it says. This is the definition, right? Eternal. Without beginning or end. Lasting forever. Always existing. Who's that talking about? God. What other thing do you know that's eternal? What about eternity? Listen to this. This is also unbelievable. I get very excited about words. All right. Eternity. It means an infinite time, duration, without beginning or end. That's what it means. Who is that talking? It's talking about God as well. But eternity is where God lives. That's where he exists, in a place that has no beginning or no end. And we're going to be joining God in eternity. But there are two locations you can spend eternity. Two. And the key thing about eternity, it doesn't end, right? It goes on and on. A bit like me, and on. Huh? That's what eternity is. You know, it also made a little note there. There's a science called metaphysics. I'm not going to tell you what it is, really, but it's talking about the existing outside all relations of time, not subject to change, and it's a study of reality and existence. And they talk about this, it's used, the word, the definition and the working of eternity is talked about in this branch of science. So it's not make-believe. It's not make-believe. And that's why salvation is mentioned 256 times. That's why there is so much detail about salvation, about the person, the work. There's no other way. The need of salvation is talked about for pages and pages in the epistles. The way of salvation is mentioned heaps of times by the apostles, by Jesus himself. And a place where you can spend eternity, a good place called heaven. And why is it important? The importance is, what is the focus of all that discussion and all those references? Ensuring that you're going to heaven, a place of your own in heaven, right? There's very little detail about heaven. There really is. Because that's not important. You know what's important? Getting there. Getting there is important, right? You know, they always talk about, you know, the journey. I don't know about the journey. The journey's fine, but if you don't get to your destination, what's the point? Huh? Eternity is your destination. Heaven ought to be our destination. And the Bible makes sure that we know how to get there. You know, the chunk that we read this morning, that's probably the most detail that you're going to get in the Bible about what heaven is like. And mate, it is brief. And sketchy at best. Because it's not really that important. It's interesting. But is it important? No. Getting to heaven. Having a place of your own in heaven. That's important. That's what Christ came to do. That's why the Bible talks so much about it. Here's another little slide I want to show you. No, that's not it. That's it. You may have seen this before. That's a graphic illustration of the books of the Bible in a bookshelf. Where else would you keep books? All right. On that top row, you'll notice there that's given up the law or the Torah. It was mentioned in the video we watched. And then there's the history books. And then we have the books of poetry. And then there are the prophecy books, right? See all those books along there? Major and minor. That doesn't mean important and not important. That means just how many prophecies, how big they are, you know, the number. There are 17 Old Testament books that talk about prophetic thing, things that are going to happen in the future, things that God reveals to mankind about what's going to happen in the future to the nation of Israel, to nations, to all sorts of things. But it's God's revelation. God's giving you a little glimpse of the future. And the main thing that it's talking about is, Elizabeth, salvation. And the provider of salvation. And the need for salvation. 17 books. Now, when you look at the comparison down the next bit, the Gospels, right, there's only four. That's sort of like the good news. Then there's the history. Only one book in the history of the New Testament. Then there's Paul's letters. That's sort of like how to work out Christianity, how to live it. All right, okay, that's good. Then you've got the general letters. That's a bit more. Different people writing about things, how to live as a Christian. And then there's Revelation, which is the prophetic book in the New Testament. One, John. There's only one book. One prophetic book. What, has God run out of ideas? No. You see, those other 17, they talked about the big event. The big event. The bringing of salvation to mankind. We remembered it this morning. The big event has happened, brothers and sisters. Folks, it's happened. So what's Revelation talking about? The winding up of the end time. Man's time. Winding it up. And so heaven gets a little mention. It is a little mention. Only a chapter and a half, really. There's a little bit more at the start, but not much. A few verses. The next big event that's going to happen isn't heaven. Revelation talks about one more event, one more big event, very similar to the other big event. Jesus coming back. Maranatha. Remember Maranatha? Yeah. Jesus. The first big event, 17 books of prophecy. Talking about him coming the first time. The next big event, one book only, but it's very similar. Jesus coming back the second time. To call his people home for a start and then to wind up things. Very important. There's a lot of background that I should give you before we start chapter 20. I haven't got time. Maybe in the new year we can have a look at it. But let's have a look. If you've got your Bible, could you grab your Bible? If you haven't got a Bible, there's one in the back of the seat somewhere where you're sitting. Turn it up to Revelation 20. A little bit of audience participation. Please participate with this. Okay. So, At the very end of chapter 21, we have a final scene. Then verse 14 of chapter 20 says, "Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name is not found in the book of life, he is thrown into the lake of fire." That's the end of everything. You know, Satan's been taken care of. Sin has been taken care of. The curse has been taken care of. God's dealt with everything through a man called Jesus Christ. The millennium has happened. Everything's been done. Verse 1, chapter 21. What does it say? Then. Can you see that? So after all of that, then it says, "I saw." Remember quite a few months back we talked about different things, and I said that one of the best and greatest testimonies you can have in a court of law is what? Audience participation. An eyewitness. You cannot beat an eyewitness. What does John say? "Then I saw." I saw this. He's describing our future home. Our future. If you believe in Jesus, if you took part of the bread and wine, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, he's describing our future home in eternity. Have you got that? This is where a believer in Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, lives for all of eternity. No more shifting, all right? Moving house. No, no, no. This is it. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The context here that it's referring to would suggest the atmospheric heaven. You know, we talked about that a few weeks ago. Remember the first heaven? Some scholars think maybe even the second heaven, you know, the solar system, the universe. I'm not sure about that. I'll tell you why in just a moment. And then it talks about the new earth. Now, sorry, missed a bit. You know that Satan reigns in the air. It says that he has the power, he's the prince of the power of the air. He has dominion and power of the earth as well. So these things have been dealt with, they've been taken away, they've been burnt up, purified. Nothing gets rid of things like fire. Nothing. You think about it. Maybe the flood can flood things and ruin things, but you know, the flood waters go and there's remnant. We just had pictures of that just recently, this week, the storms. Devastating, isn't it? Watching all those people and the floods over in America. But fire. What's left? We've seen pictures of that too. Nothing. Ash. Isn't it haunting watching the bushfire scenes after it's gone through and all you see is the chimney stack, you know, the fireplace, all that's left. You know, it says about the new earth that creation groans, wants to be liberated. That's in Romans 8. The curse, it said, we read it together, the curse has been removed off the earth. Every part of sin, the symptoms, the cause, the effects of sin has been gone, has been taken away. It's gone. It's finished. The word renew means to resume activity after an interruption. God renews everything. The earth, the heaven, and mankind. Renew also means to make new, to make like new rather, I should say, like new or like its original state. That's the mind of God. This is what God has done now. He has renewed everything. He makes everything new. For the first heaven and the first earth, it says there, has what? What does it say? Has passed away. Can you see that? It's passed. There's no longer there. That's why I believe it's talking about the atmospheric heaven and the earth that we lived on. The old thing. It doesn't mean that the earth itself has gone completely, but it's been renewed. It's back to its what sort of state? Original state. In the state that God had made it in the beginning, when it was first created, before sin ever got a look in. All right. And then John says, verse 2, again he says, I saw. Can you see that? He says in verse 2, I saw what? The holy city. The holy city. He gives this city a name. The new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem. Now I want you to tell me, have a look. Where does it come from? I'm not hearing anything. Out from heaven. that comes down out of heaven. Remember I showed you the picture about heaven? You remember? This is a city coming down from heaven. Remember I told you about that man who referred to heaven having suburbs? Helps me to understand where we are. Well, here's a city, the New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God. It's all about God. This is a city that no man has built. No human hands have touched. That's the sort of city that a man called Abraham was looking for, wasn't he? He was looking for a city whose maker and builder was God. Not made with human hands. Here it is. Have a look what it says next. What does it say? Prepared. Where have we heard that word before? A city coming out, down from heaven, coming out of heaven from God, prepared. Isn't that amazing how scripture just fits together? What did Jesus say? I'm going to prepare a place for you. Here it is. John sees it. A new Jerusalem. Not heaven, because it's come from heaven. It's a part of heaven. A heavenly city. That's what it says. All right, let's move on. Oh, it's over the page, sorry. I got to the end of that page. Now in verse 3, talks about now God has a place to dwell on the earth like never before. Wait a minute, Rav. No, God's been here before. Oh, yes, he has. In the tabernacle. And in the temple, his presence has been here before. But it was very confined, wasn't it? In the Holy of Holies, very small area, behind a veil. In the temple, also in the holiest of holies, very small. Because God can't dwell where sin is. God can't live there. But he can live, he can dwell in this heavenly city. Never like this before, not like the temple or the tabernacle, and he will live with them forever. Not like, not visiting. Now there was a time when God came down to the Garden of Eden, that was pretty good. But it was only in the afternoon, wasn't it? In the cool of the day. For a time. It wasn't a permanent place. This is a permanent place. God's presence will be here. And I love this little part. This is what gives me goosebumps when I think about it. Not only is God there, but he says he'll be there with his people and he'll be their God. He wants to be our God. You know what's wrong with us? We don't want him to be our God. That's what's wrong with society, with humanity. But he wants to be our God. And then we have a description. I just need to go back. Hang on a second. I've missed this here. See these pictures here really quickly because time's running out really quickly. These pictures here are artists' impressions of what, you know, when they look at Revelation, this is what they come up with, you know. All these things, you know, some of them are pyramid shapes, some of them are cubes, some of them are just garden and water and all sorts of things. Really interesting, you know. Some of them have heaven floating on the earth, above the earth. Artist's impression. And it doesn't do it, it really doesn't do it justice. I'm getting good at this, Andrew, aren't I? Yeah. Alright. This is a good artist's impression. It sort of describes what's coming up. a city coming down from heaven. You know, you notice it doesn't say it lands. It doesn't actually settle on the earth. There's, again, you know, scholars argue that. I don't know. This makes sense to me. And the shape of it too is interesting. Whether it's cube or pyramid. And we get caught up with things like that, but what we don't take a lot of time in noticing is that the description that God gives you, this is what God wants you to know about this city. There's no sea in it. So if you're a fisherman or a surfer or like my brother, a sailor, I don't know about that, Raph. That's not very good. But there's a really good reason why there's no sea. And come and talk to me about it later. I don't have time now to tell you about it. But here's something. No crying. No tears. Well, I love that. You know, Hollywood does a very bad thing about crying because every time the actresses who are absolutely stunning, aren't they? And when they cry, Kat, the makeup doesn't run. It makes you sick. And they look beautiful even when they're crying. You know what I've discovered? That's not true. Because every person that I've seen cry, I've seen a few, ugly. Yeah, it's true, isn't it? It's an ugly look. It really is. Because if you're crying, something bad has happened. So there's no crying, no tears, no death, no mourning. And Francine, no more pain. Amen to that. My mother-in-law has been in hospital for four days. She just got back to the nursing home this week. And she went in there because she was in a lot of pain. Her leg and all sorts of back, you know. And for 24 days, they tried to work out how to help her with this pain. And midway through that time, they had pumped her so much, with so much painkiller, that we thought she's gone. She's gonna die. She went loopy, didn't know anything. She was having lunch with dead people. Hope she's not watching. Too much pain medication. They pulled her back. They sent her home. They didn't fix the pain. They couldn't fix the pain. My mother-in-law is looking forward to the day when there is no more pain in her body. She's racked with it. No more pain. And there's something else that's really vital here. You know, is there is no throne. Oh, sorry, there's no temple. There's a throne in this city, but there's no church. No church buildings. Any city you go to, anywhere in the world, brothers and sisters, there is some sort of religious building of worship. Thailand, Bali, you know, Norway, anywhere you go, India. No temple here. The throne, but no temple. Very interesting. And then we have a declaration from this throne. And who's sitting on the throne? It's God. And he says, I am making everything new. And he says, write this down, John. Write this down. This is what God wants us to know. He says, it's trustworthy. If you can't trust God's own words, you don't have trust anywhere. God, that's why Revelation's there. He wants you to know this, brothers. He wants you to know this. He also tells us there's no cowardly there. People who are ashamed of Christ. There are no unbelievers. People who have rejected Christ. You see how important Christ is. There are no vile people. People that steal, take drugs, drunkards, who take on the mark of the beast, etc. There are no murderers there of any description, you know. No murderers. People that have killed unlawfully. There's no sexually immoral people there. There is no one practicing the occult. You know, mate, I'm struggling at the moment with Channel 7 News. You know, I don't like Channel 9 News, but do anyone else watch Channel 7 News? They've got the horoscope, Sam. They've got a horoscope up there. I'm struggling with this. Anyway. No idolaters. That's people who replace God. Not just idol worshippers, you know. People who replace God with career, with money, with fame. Well, whatever. If you replace God in your life with anything else, if anything else takes the preeminence, the first place in your life, other than God, you're an idolater. None of them in this city. And then have a look at what it says. This is in verse 8. No liars. No liars. Doesn't say no big fat liars or no white liars. It's just no liars. I've told lies. I have been forgiven them. But can you see that the exclusion from this city is comprehensive, isn't it? Comprehensive. And just to be sure, in chapter 22 and 14, it lists this again. God gives us a number of warnings. I've got to get going. I've got to keep going. All right. It talks about an angel showing John the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. And he takes him to this place. And what does John see? Have a look. He sees the city. This heavenly city. You see, brothers and sisters, Melbourne isn't the buildings. People say, oh, Melbourne's the gourmet capital of Australia or something like that. And they're famous for our coffee shop. It's the people. That's who Melbourne is. That's who makes Melbourne. It's the people that make Melbourne. It's the people that make this church. The Montmorency Community Church is not this building. It's us, the people. So when John was taken by the angel to show the bride of Christ, John saw the city symbolizing the inhabitants of the city, the bride of Christ. That's where we will be living, brothers and sisters. That's where the Christians who trust Jesus Christ, the believers, this is where we live, in this city, where there are no tears, no crime, no sin at all. You won't be ever hurt. You'll always feel secure. We can't imagine a place like that. Name one place on this earth that's like that. There isn't. Even when I love going to the beach in the winter because my wife doesn't like heat. So I have to like it. And we go and we walk along the beach, you know, and you know, there's waves and there's no nasty people and all the rest of it. It looks absolutely magnificent, pristine. And you walk along and there it is, a stubby. Yeah, an empty stubby. And this pristine, even then you can see the mark of sin. Or as you go back to the car park, you know, you see the weeds in between growing. There isn't a place on this earth where sin hasn't had an effect. Okay, just very quickly. You've noticed that there was no mention of cherubs. I've had an interesting discussion with young Susan before about angels. There are no cherubs. There is no little things playing harps. It's not a fluffy, it doesn't sound fluffy. Does it sound fluffy and cloudy to you, this place? No. That's the Hollywood version. There's nothing like that. Is it big enough to hold everybody? This is a representation. It talks about the size of this place. This is really, really quick. I'm going to give you this. Will we all fit in? Absolutely, definitely, yes. Because when you measure it, what gives us the measurements here, it says that it is, if you equivalent, the Americans, this is an American slide, it's in miles, right? It's about 1500 miles by 1500 miles by 1500 miles, which is 2,224 kilometres, the equivalent of 1500 miles. How big is that? That's how big it is. Okay, well, I sort of get an idea. 2,200 kilometres by 2,200 kilometres. How big is that? Victoria. Add on to Victoria, New South Wales. Add on to New South Wales, Queensland. All of Queensland. That's still not enough, Pat. You got to add on to that South Australia, the Northern Territory. Have you got this in your mind? Right? But that's still not enough. Two thirds of Western Australia. Oh, maybe even three quarters of Western Australia. And you've got just this much. Just 1,500 miles or 1,500 miles squared. Right? That's how big it is. Sorry about Tasmania. I love Tassie, but I had to leave it off because it wasn't going to work for me. That's how big it is. That's just the base. Don't you know? Then it's 1,500 miles, 2,200 kilometres high. Right? And that's a representation of what it could possibly look like. And then it talks about the pearly gates. No, it didn't. The gates were made of one pearl. We haven't got that. And where was St. Peter? Did you read it? We didn't read that. Why? It's not there. Can you see why at the start, a couple of weeks ago, I said, well, there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot. We get to verse 27 of chapter 21. And it says there, nothing impure will ever enter into it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Another warning. At the very, near the end of this book, another warning. Who will not be there? Who will not be there? You know, if you ever go on holidays, and everyone's gone on holidays, and you go to the booking office or the, whatever, you know, and they say, have you made a booking? Yes. What's your name? And I always have to spell my name. It's only got five letters, but no one gets it right. Five letters. Anyway. And so they look for your name, don't they? I know it's on computer now, all right, but it's same thing, same principle. Oh, your name's not here. That's a worry, isn't it? You start to sweat, Ken. I'm sure I made the booking. My wife's going to kill me. You sort of need a booking to get into heaven. You really do. You make the booking now. Now. Not when you're standing at the gate. It's too late then. Your name has to be in that book. And we get to verse chapter 22, and here we sort of get a picture of like a paradise, like Eden restored. And time's gone, I can't say anymore. Eden restored, like God had always intended it to be, him and man in a perfect environment. The new Jerusalem. Where would you like to live, brothers and sisters? Where would you like to live? Because there's only two places. And you make that choice now. You make the choice. God doesn't condemn you to the lake of fire. It's a sentencing, not a condemnation. Doesn't condemn you to go. Where will you spend eternity? There is only two places. Two places. Where will you spend eternity? That's what God's really asking you this morning. He wants you in heaven. He's prepared a place for you in heaven. He wants to spend eternity with you. But the question is this morning, will you be there? Because you can make sure of that. You can make sure of it today, right now. Preparing a place. Is he preparing a place for you? Is he? Is your name in the book? Have you got a reservation for heaven? I urge you to think about these things. If you have any questions, talk to the elders. Come and see me. I'll be hanging around for lunch. And you know where I live. Come and talk to me. If you have any questions at all about what we've talked about the last 3 weeks, because it's vitally important. It has eternal consequences.